Hello, Jets fans. It's us here at the Jetstream. We are back for a bit of a pre-season pod, I suppose. It's been a few weeks and there's been a little bit of news recently about the Jets. So what better time to come back in pre-season, do some testing, catch up with everyone, see what they've been doing on their holidays, etc., and do a pod. Joining me tonight, two of our regulars. Emma, how are you doing?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Good, thank you, Em. Good. And Matt, welcome back, mate. How's your off-season been?
Excellent, mate. I'm going to steal Emma's normal greeting and just say ahoy hoy.
Oh, well, look, it's pre-season. People are catching up with shenanigans, so let's just put that one down to that, shall we? Let's get straight into it. We do have an opening question for tonight. You score a goal at Hunter Stadium up the squadron end of the field. Talk me through how it happens, what time, how you're scoring it, what's the celebration that you're putting through. Emma, we're going to start with you.
No, because I hate this question. I thought about this long and hard, and I cannot see myself scoring a goal. I'm, like, notoriously unco, and when I play sports, I play defence, because then it's my one job to just get the ball away from the goal and I don't actually have to make any decisions. And so I've arrived at it's probably going to be an own goal. And probably in a very, very important moment, like, you know, after 87 minutes, because it's the Jets.
You're going to go all Alan Walsh on us, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Got to be realistic. No one's going to believe me scoring a goal ever.
Matt, what about you?
You've dead set stolen my thunder, Em. Like, I was a defender as well, so if I was ever going to score, it was going to be an Oggy. But unlike you, I'd probably get it out of the way right at the start of the game. So I reckon it'd be probably a inside the first 5 minutes back pass that I passed past the keeper, and then the celebration would be the head in the hands.
Wow.
Cracky Moses, aren't we a depressing bunch?
Well, I'm going to go for a goal that that just never was for me during my footballing all-age career. It was in a semi-final and I was played through and the keeper was out off their line and I was well out to the side of the on the left and the ball bounced and I volleyed it and the ball has gone sailing over the keeper's head and hit the crossbar and then ricocheted out to the right and continued and that would have won us the game at that point in time. So I'm looking for a long clearance for me to break through, spot the goalkeeper off their line, side foot volley it over the keeper and in, and I would just keep on running and end up in the squadron. That is it for me. Shout out as well to Morten Nordstrand. I think that his goal against Adelaide, where certain people somehow miraculously were photoshopped over the fence, let's say.
It's a nice thought, mate, but the only chance that would ever happen would be if Bugard was playing against the Jets, because I can't think of another centre back that you'd outrun.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty. Getting those shots in. Matt, shots fired, Matt. Shots fired. Well, all right, very good. Well, there's been a fair bit. I'm going to leave that one there. There's been a fair bit of news. Since we recorded the end-of-season pod, a decision was made at the point in time that Roy O'Donovan, the contract to Roy O'Donovan, actually, I think it was the day after we released the pod, had been withdrawn by the Jets, and he's ended up going to sign a two-year deal with the Brisbane Roar. Matt, how do you feel about Roy's departure from the club?
Honestly, mate, I think it's something that we, without actually saying at that end of season pod, we all actually saw coming. Disappointed, I guess, because he was a proven goal scorer and he was, that's something that we certainly haven't had for 4 or 5 years. But, by the same token, maybe that snake banner from the Coasters did a couple of years ago was somewhat prophetic.
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation there, Emma. I mean, there was a lot of conjecture around the circumstances that led to the Jets withdrawing their offer to Roy as it came out. It, it was a very much a party A said one thing, party B said the other. And at the time, I felt that the Jets statement almost seemed a little bit, not rushed, but a little bit bitter in a way, that they'd been rejected by Roy. How did you see the whole situation pan out? Do you think both parties could have handled it better?
Yeah, well, I'm glad it didn't drag on any longer. So, you know, I think I'd just gotten to that point in that last pod where I was happy for him to stay. And then when it was announced that he was going, I thought, well, you know, at least it happened now and, you know, not 8 weeks from then or, you know, however long it could have dragged on for. But, yeah, I get the same feeling as you. It was a little bit, I don't want to say anything, like, mean about it, but it was a little bit difficult in the way that the messaging came across, and it was a little bit, you can't dump us, we've dumped you, you know, that kind of vibe. But, you know, you can see where the club's coming from in that respect, you know, have, you know, looked after him through his suspension and his shenanigans. You can see why they would be a little bit hurt, but I'm hoping it's going to be one of those breakups where you come through it and you're like, ha, can't believe I was ever upset about that loser. So, yeah, good luck to him, but I don't think we're going to miss him.
Yeah, look, I also agree with you. I hope that it's a Torres-esque from Liverpool to Chelsea situation where we got probably some of the best years out of Roy. I think the Mariners also would be in that boat too. And there'd be plenty of Mariners fans sitting there, I dare say, chuckling to themselves and thinking, well, he did it to us, coming to you. You can't feel bad when he does it to you, going to somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, you can't feel bad that players move on from clubs. Like,
that's football.
It's what they do for a living. No one's going to be, you know, one club man. I guess it's just the nature of the departure, and I guess the lackluster season that came before it and the kick in the teeth that came before that.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I'm more worried about our goalkeepers now than anything else. So.
Well, look, he does leave the club. Sorry, you go, Matt.
Oh, yeah, so, you know, thinking back, though, to what was sort of said during that final podcast, and I think opinions were pretty split, though, about whether or not he should have, you know, been retained or not. And, you know, am I right in saying that this was right before, like, the whole budget crisis came out as well?
Yeah.
That we realised that we'd run out of a shoestring for...
It was just after.
Okay, so it was just after. But even then, like, I think a lot of people were saying that, yeah, we'd keep him if there's not a better option. Do we have ourselves to blame? Like, is Roy one of the, you know, 13 people that listened to the podcast that thought, oh, shit, I'm not actually wanted by these fans?
maybe that's the case. You never know who downloads.
If you're listening to the podcast, don't text and drive.
True. So, look, that's a pretty good segue, Matt, into his direct replacement, a player that was announced just the other day, Abdiel Arroyo. He's a Panamanian striker who's come to the Jets on loan for a season from Arabe Unido, which is a team in the, I think it's in the Panama Football League. It's part of the Panama, the Liga Panamania de Football. There you go. That's enough pronunciation for today. Thank
Spot
you for joining
on
us.
Pronunciation,
Dan. I'm
the Les Murray of this podcast.
Who says we don't prepare for this? Like, you've obviously rehearsed that in front of the mirror a couple of times.
I walk around
all
day.
Yeah, that was Lucy Zelik-esque.
Thank you. I try. So, Arroyo. Emma, we've signed him for a year. Have you had a look at the video, first of all?
I have had a look at the video. It kind of reminded me of Coco's video, so I'm not going to get my hopes up. I do like the idea that he's coming on loan, though. I think that kind of takes the pressure off this as a decision a little bit, given that we've had some duds come in as the internationals of late.
Yep.
Well, not duds. Duds is probably being a bit harsh. Some lackluster performances from our internationals. So I guess being on loan kind of takes the pressure off that for me a little bit. But, yeah, my girlfriend's got a bit excited about the video, but then I reminded them of Coco. And then someone mentioned Jardel, and now I don't think anyone's that excited anymore.
Yeah, look, I mean, we haven't had a lot of success. We've had mixed success with players from the South American continent, Matt. A statement I made was, look, as long as he brings his boots, he isn't named after ammunition, and he doesn't shove a mask down his pants, then I'm actually quite happy to give him a go.
I guess the concern for me is, like, if you've got a current international, which I think I'm correct in
definitely,
saying that he's still current Panamanian international, and he's coming from a Panamanian club, yet they were still prepared to loan him out, and his highlight reel consisted a lot of his near misses, it's got to be a little bit of a worry. In saying that, if he scores first week, I'll learn his name.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm writing that one down. Look, yes, he did recently score. He's actually part of the Panama squad that's in the 2009 CONCACAF Gold Cup. He scored a goal against Guyana. But, look, since probably 2018, he's flitted between clubs. Season 2017-18, he played for Danubio, 5 goals and 21 appearances. 2018, Alajuelense, 3 goals and 11 appearances. He then returned after an initial 4-year stint at Arabe Unido, where he scored 28 and 114. He returned and scored 18-18. He was then sent out on loan to Santa Clara for 2018-19, where he scored no goals in 5 appearances, and now he's come to us. He hasn't had a lot of football. Probably it's actually quite comparable in the amount of games that Roy's had since he signed in 2017. But again, not a great deal of goals. I watched the video and I wasn't particularly excited. He looks like his touch is quite heavy, and his go-to move is almost to knock it past and run, which the defending in some of those videos didn't look particularly mobile.
I thought we'd just gotten rid of Mitch Austin.
Oof. Jeez, you've been saving these up.
Can I ask though, Dave?
Yes.
Someone's put his stats up online. It's on one of the Newcastle Jets supporters page that I assume came from the A-League or the Jets game. It says that he's played 63 games at the club level and 47 games at the international level. Is that right? Can that just seem...
No. It seems a
little bit...
number
of international games compared to club-level games.
Yeah, look, he has played 40 odd games for his senior career, and this is from the very reliable source of Wikipedia. But it does have...
To be fair, though, Em, to be fair, if the Phoenix didn't exist and we only counted professional games, that stat would probably hold true for most Kiwi players as well.
Nah, you've ruined your joke run with that one. he's probably looking about 200 games. His most successful stint was at Arab between 2011-2015 at Arabe, and I really hope I'm pronouncing this right. Probably not. With the 28 goals in 114 appearances, but since then he's really struggled to find the back of the net and get more than sort of the high teens in terms of appearances on average per season.
2011, he would have just been a kid.
Yeah, look, he probably would have. He would have been 17 between 2015. Yeah, he would have been 22 between, say, the age of 17 and 21, 22.
So let's hope he's not a kid wonder who hasn't lived up to their promise and we're not just getting traded on hopes and dreams.
Oh, hopefully so. But
does anyone know if he actually speaks English?
No, I'm not too sure, and that was a point that I made as well elsewhere, that particularly I wonder who within the team is going to have the know any Spanish, for example, that would be able to converse with him.
I'm sure, like, Laurie would know the basics, like, dos cerveza, por favor. That's two beers, please.
Yes. He was actually also part of the World Cup squad, part of the World Cup squad that was in Russia this time last year. So he's got a bit, he's certainly well respected within the Panama international scene. Maybe he just needs a bit of trust and a bit of a run.
Yeah, maybe. And you know what? He's what we've got, so obviously that's what we're going to give him. So, you know, I really hope it works out, and you know, we can eat any negative words. But yeah, it's hard after all the burnings to get excited about a new one till you see them on the pitch, and you've got to see the chemistry. For me, you know, he can be as good as you want. If he doesn't come in and fit with the structure and fit with the culture, it's not going to work out. So as long as he fits with the chemistry, it's probably going to be okay.
Look, I've got to say, from the video, the one thing I did take away, he works hard. And Ernie likes players who work hard, and if we're going to put him up top, we're going to get a hard-working striker out of it. Speaking of Emma, building on from what we have now got is Nick Fitzgerald signing from the Jets after his contract was, after he got mutual with the Western Sydney Wanderers. I expect that Fitzgerald will fill in the Petrados role out on the right, allowing Dimmy to move in central. Is this a signing that excites you, Em, and is that how you see him fitting into the squad?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that's what he expects as well. I saw an interview with him the other day where he said that, you know, he can play central and likes playing central, but thinks he's spent a lot of time at the wing because better players than him have been in the middle. So I think he knows that that's probably what is going to happen. And I'm quite okay with that. When we first announced him, I kind of went, oh, that's a bit uninspired. We're just taking, you know, he's been, oh, God, so many A-League clubs. Raw, Central Coast Mariners, City.
Wanderers, now us.
Have I got them all? Yeah.
So he's getting his A-League passport stamped. Like, oh, that's
uninspired. Yeah. But then I think maybe I was in a bad mood when I thought that, and I was being a bit of a bitch because watching the interview with him the other day, he seemed very genuine about wanting to be here and what he can bring to the team. So I'm gonna wait and see what he can do. I think it's better than nothing, and I'm glad that we're getting people in. And, you know, he's not really scored any goals lately, but if he can support Dimmy to score some goals, maybe that will work. Trying to be an optimist with this one.
Yeah, he was a player that was signed by Josep Gombau while he was at the Wanderers, Matt. And after his contract expired with City the season before last, I actually thought that he was a player after a quite impressive season. The Jets should have been looking at. Didn't transpire that way, and now we've ended up with him after a season that hasn't really worked out for him under Marcus Babbel. I don't think he ever really got a go. That can certainly make a player hungry for success, and he's got a second chance in a football... Well, he's got a fifth chance, I should say, in a footballing career within the A-League. Are you excited by Nick Fitzgerald's signing, and do you think that he can deliver for the Jets this year?
How do I put this? No, not really. He's done the merry-go-round. Like, surely, like, you saw some of the players that were signed from NPL last year, like Shepherd's a prime example, Elvis Kansoba, Matt Miller, Max Burgess. If an And I would hazard a guess to say that they were all probably signed on lower wages than what we're paying Fitzgerald. It doesn't excite me. I'm just really sort of wondering what sort of formation or what our default lineup will be, positionally for next year. Like, I don't think we can sort of run out the same 4-2-3-1 that we have for the last couple of years and sort of expect results, especially because, let's face it, I don't think the quality of the team is as good as what it's going to be, has been for the last couple of years, and even last year we were sort of found a bit wanting. So I'll be surprised to sort of see what kind of role that Ernie sees him playing, and what our default is, like whether we do a 3-5-2 or a 3-2-3-1 or type setup. Nick's been around, and like you said, this is his fifth club. He hasn't really nailed on a starting spot. Like, by all reports, Gombau, well, he had a good run at Adelaide. The whispers that I heard from people that are pretty close in Western Sydney were that he just couldn't coach. So being signed by him and then being left out by Babel, it's not a great sign. I'm up in the air, but no, I'd... There's a lot of other players that have been signed this year by different clubs that I would certainly trade him for.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Well, one player that has also now departed the club, he's a player that was certainly a favourite of one Jay Goodsir, and unfortunately we never got to see this guy score a goal for the club because, Joel have made a ton of money and certainly have lauded it over everyone for ever and a day. Is Ivan Vujica. Emma, I'm really disappointed to see the back of Vujica, who's now headed down to Western United as part of their inaugural season. I saw with the departure of Daniel Georgeski that the left back was there for him. It was his to cement, his to take. He was first choice, and for some reason, I get the sense that there was a bit of disagreement where he fit with the team. Perhaps Ernie didn't quite trust him. Perhaps he didn't get on with Ernie. I don't know, because he started last season well, but he was bombed out. Just never really happened for even. It's a bit of a tradition with our left backs. How's Vujica's departure left you feeling? Bit...
Yeah, again, I'm torn on this one. So part of me thinks, the first time we play against them, he's going to score against us. And we'll have, plotted him through his warm-up phase and then he'll go and thrive somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is thinking, did he ever get those tonsils out and is he going to get sick and have many weeks off again? And then the other part of me thinks, even if I like him as a human and a player and think that he had promise, I think what you said about his fit in the team probably is true, and it is a team game and you do have to fit with the coach's vision and the formula and everything else. So maybe it was a case of square peg round hole, and it's maybe he will thrive elsewhere, but also maybe our formula might work out a bit differently or better because of it. So I wonder if we're changing the structure at the back and that's what that's about. And I look forward to seeing whether or not that's what happens.
What about you, Matt? How do you think the Jets are going to respond to Vujica's departure?
I'm sort of a little bit torn as well, just like Emma was. As much as you like the guy and you liked how much passion he showed, like while he was on the field, the question I guess was always there about whether he was really going to step up. I've just got this like really bad feeling that he's going to do a Tarik Elrich on us and like all of a sudden become one of the best backs in the competition as soon as we get rid of him. But you can't help but whatever happens, I can't help but wish the guy good luck because, while he had some bad games for us, he also had some really good ones and he also played his absolute ass off whenever he was, picked in the team. So, yeah. So they can't hold anything against him. And if the money was on the table from Western United and he was guaranteed a starting spot, and if he didn't fit into the plans up here, then, hey, them's the breaks.
Yeah, them's the breaks. Speaking of breaks, a player who missed last year's pre-season because of a broken foot is again going to miss pre-season this year because, and to quote common terms in rap from
this
fandom.com, fandom.com, common terms in rap, he's jumped in his whip, thrown us the juice out the window after a bet with old man McKenna to go and pursue a rap career in LA. That we're talking about, of course, Joey Champness. How good's my rapping, by the way, Em?
Your rap.
I've looked up common terms in rap, and I've put them into a sentence. None of it rhymed, but you know, I've had a go.
What do you think? So cute that you think that's what rapping is, mate.
Hey, them's the breaks.
Okay, is Joey the only rap you've ever heard? Because that might be.
Where I haven't even heard his.
Oh. Oh, my God.
I'm sheltered. I'm going to cut that out. No, I'm not.
No, you can't, kidding? Because if my joke run came to an end, yours certainly did.
I never had one to begin with. How much of a joke is this, Em? This has got me pretty bemused.
Oh, my God. He's a good human. He scores goals. I like him as a player. But dear God, he's not a good rapper. Like, this is one of those, this is the product of social media. This is everyone likes Joey, so they pat him on the back and say, yeah, man, good rap song. And his posse's like, yeah, I'll be in your posse. And that's all they want. It's not music. Like, rap is not my genre to start with. Even so, and to the joke that it makes of his desire to play football, I've just realised his uncle is probably listening to this. Hi, Andy. but the joke that it makes of his desire to play is, it's ridiculous. Pick one, be a rapper or be a football player. It's all good and well to dabble in the rap and for everyone to support you, in the downtime. But to cut into preseason training, especially after, as you said, missing last year's preseason, it's a strange move to me. Are the money worries that bad that we need to sell some albums, I don't know. It's weird.
Matt?
Do you know the thing that really annoyed me about this was the statement released by the Jets that said that not to worry because it wouldn't cut into any competitive matches. Now, he's going to miss the FFA Cup. So, and I've just bought tickets to go down to Melbourne to go and watch us play in the FFA Cup. So that goes to show the level of commitment that the club has got to that competition.
Let's be honest, though, we're rarely competitive in the FFA Cup.
Well, I was actually just about to say, Em, that...
want us to be.
If they're going to say that he's not going to miss a competitive game, and that's their attitude, quite possibly we could lose him for the whole season. We might not be competitive in a single game. So maybe they're not lying.
Look, the thing that's got me really disappointed about this is the fact that I see Joey as an X-factor. I see him playing an extremely important part.
I'm sorry, Dave. Did you just say he's going to go to the US and go on the X-factor?
Touche.
Record deal.
I see him as playing a very, very important part in this season. And I really want us to be competitive in the FFA Cup as well. I want us to progress. I think we've got a great opportunity to beat Victory. They've lost Barbaroussis. I'm not sure if Toivonen will be back. They've let Raul Baena go. Valeri's missing. There's great opportunity there for us to step up and actually beat them. And to miss a second preseason and well, prior to our first competitive game, he would still be back in time for us, for him to go and start the A-League when it starts in mid-October. But I don't know. It really just irritates me. And that's coming from a football fan side of things. Then there's me and the arguments that people are putting up on the NewcastleFootball.net forum, which I can completely understand, is that, you know, this guy, by all accounts, and I haven't listened to his music, so I can't judge, but apparently it is good, and they enjoy it. And if he's good at this, and he's got a potential to make a career in it, he could probably make a lot more money in it than he can in football, so why not pursue it? And he's got a flexible employer who's willing to give him the time off to do it, and it's the club's decision. But yeah, I don't know. As a football fan, it's just got me torn, because I see so much potential in Joey and what he can do and the spark he added to the club and to the team at the end of last season.
Anyway, can I just say, agree with what you just said there, Dave.
Sorry?
Can I just say that I
agree with Dave.
One at a time. Matt, you go first. Your sounds like a very short
story. I agree with you. I agree with you, Dave. That's why you let me go first. I 100% think he was probably one of our best players when he actually came back from injury last year, and just the energy that he gave to our team and the club, it wouldn't be too soon to say Socceroos, only because as soon as someone plays two good games, they get called for Socceroos. And like, why not give it another 12 months? Like, I mean, he's... As much as I appreciate he might... let me rephrase. If his passion is hip-hop, then let him do it and just completely forget about football. But if he's only got a limited time to actually make it as a footballer, and he's probably got a longer time to go and get that record deal.
Yep. That was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. Em, sorry, Matt. Thank you. Em, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm also an opportunities taker. And the way they phrased it was, you know, an opportunity's come up that he's going away to pursue. The problem with being an opportunities taker and wanting to do all the things is you end up doing all the things badly. And, you know, I think Matt's right. If he wants to do the music thing, go and do the music thing. But, you know, part-time footballer, part-time music person is probably not sustainable for either of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to wish him the best, of course, but we hope that he comes back to us, because he's got a big part to play this season. So,
yeah, and I think that's important to point out, Dave, that the reason why we're pissed off about this is because we do like him so much and rate him so much as a player. Like, it sounds like...
Absolutely.
I feel like it sounds like I'm having a go, but, you know, that's why it's disappointing, because we really do want to see him on the pitch.
Absolutely.
He was one of the few players that I was actually looking forward to seeing come back next year.
Yeah, for me, Joey's going to be... one of the differences between expectation and participation for our season this year. I just touched on it before then. The FFA Cup draw has occurred, and we drew the Melbourne Victory. Yay, another A-League team. We're travelling down to Amy Park to take on the Victory on the 7th of August, and Matt, you mentioned that you're heading down there. We'll do a preview prior to this game in about a month's time, I dare say. But first reaction to the draw. Matt? Hello? Em?
Sorry, I was muted. I just said, yeah, I've done a bird. We get another A-League team, of course. What else was in here? I was really looking forward to another game at Magic Park against, like, you know, anyone else. But, yeah, like, at least the campaign will be short and sweet.
Oh, I really hope not. I mean, Em, the one thing that's got me somewhat optimistic is you look at the Brisbane outs, the Victory outs versus the Victory ins, and you see the outs, Raul Baena, as I mentioned before, Keske Honda, Jai Ingham, Jorg Niedermeyer, Carl Valeri and Costa Barbarouses. That's a lot of their starting squad from last year. And in is Jay Barnett from the Brisbane Roar, who is a youth player. So, still a month. Toivonen will be back, but it's a lot of losses, a lot of outs.
I don't know what's wrong with me, because I keep telling myself as a Jets fan not to get optimistic, and then I go and get optimistic again. I can see this being a really nice, calmer moment for Melbourne Victory. That said, we do not have a great record in the FFA Cup, so, you know, maybe it'll be great to be put out of our misery early. But, yeah, maybe they're not going to raid us and we can come down and take them by surprise, and that could be a little bit fun. So, yeah, I'm actually feeling a bit optimistic, and you're right, it's Melbourne Victory do not look to be the team that they were last season or the season before currently. So
new coach too.
Yeah, which is definitely a wild card. Who knows what's going to happen.
I love your optimism.
It's the preseason, mate. It's the preseason, mate. Ball hasn't been kicked. We can be as optimistic as we like.
Might be the only chance I get.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Matt, enjoy, and those others going down, by all means, enjoy your trip down. Unfortunately, I won't be joining you this year. But please do sing Summer of 69 for me. That kind of just wraps about everything up for us. Thanks very much, Em and Matt, for joining us today.
Thank you, David.
No problems.
Pleasure.
You're on mute again, I bet. Everyone, thank you very much for tuning in. We hope that you've enjoyed our short chat about the news that's been coming on with the Jets over the last couple of months. We hope that you're also enjoying your off-season. Enjoy the last couple of games of the FIFA Women's World Cup as well. The World Cup final is coming out. By the time you listen to this, I dare say that the finalists have been decided who will be facing the US in Paris for the final. So enjoy
that. Well, it's US versus the world, according to them.
Yeah. Well, including their own country, Mr. Trump. And go up, and during the FFA Cup, make sure you go to Maitland to watch watch Maitland beat the Central Coast Mariners as well in the FFA Cup. So till then, go the Jets.
Go to the Jets. Don't at me if you're a Joey C. rap fan.
Bye.
Come on, Jets. Let's go.
Very good.
That was heartfelt.
Look, I have heard one rap song. Goes, I'm Mr. Plow, and I'm here to say I'm the plowiest guy in the USA. I've got a big plow, and I move a lot of things. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.